Turning to Revelations chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Read that again. Can we read that again? Yeah. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, that which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, the accuser, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, the book of Revelations is a book of revelations, things that are hidden, mysteries that are being revealed. Revelation means it's hidden, now it's revealed. It's a revelation. You didn't know this before, but now you see it. And the book of Revelation is written from three different perspectives: heaven's perspective, earth's perspective, and hell's perspective. Depending on where you're standing and you look and you're looking at something, are you looking at it from the earth when you see the revelation? Are you looking at it from heaven? Are you hearing it from heaven? Are you hearing it from earth? Are you hearing it from hell? There's three perspectives in the book of Revelation. And as you read, and time, past, present, and future in the book of Revelation. It's not an easy book to read. In fact, you can't even read it without God's Holy Spirit revelation to you, revealing it to you as you read. But there is one thing I know right here in this verse. There was a voice, a loud voice, that made a declaration, a statement. Now, heaven is recognized. There is something major has happened. Heaven has been affected, earth has been affected, and hell has been affected. The voice said in heaven, now is come salvation. Now is come strength. Now is come the kingdom of our God. Now is come the power of his Christ. Now, all of these things are right now. A lot of people read the Bible and they think, won't that be nice someday when I get to heaven, I'll get to enjoy all of that. Won't that be nice one day when I die and go through this veil of tears and suffer long enough for Jesus and go through enough trials to feel worthy? Maybe one day I'll feel like I'm worthy enough if I try hard enough. You know, if I ever get to the place where I feel like God really loves me, if I ever kick that habit, and one day when I get it all figured out, when I get it all straightened out, when I get my life in order, then one day it'll all be okay. But see, God wants it now. God said, now is come. Now something has come. Powerful revelation right here coming at you. Powerful. The declaration out of heaven is now is come. And what's come right now? Salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. Jesus didn't always live on earth. It took a while for God to get the word of God into the earth. He always was in heaven, but he finally came to earth. But it took a while to get him here. But now he's here. Now he came. Now he's come. The power of his Christ. For the accuser. Here's the reason. Here's the reason he came. Because there's an accuser. We know it's Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses the brethren before God day and night. guess what he's done for him, for us? He's been cast down. The accuser has been cast down. When was he cast down? Now he's cast down. He was cast down back when Jesus was raised from the dead and Jesus was raised up out of hell. He took with him the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And that's when the enemy was stripped of his authority and power over the believer. Now, he still has a power and authority over the sinner because they still belong to him. He's their father. But he's no longer my father. He used to be. Jesus looked at the Pharisees, says, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. If you follow the lust of the devil, he's your father. But when you get born again, you get translated out of the kingdom of darkness and you get translated in the kingdom of light, and God becomes your father. You change families. And the enemy no longer has a right to accuse you any longer. I feel sorry for sinners because they don't realize that all that condemnation and all that yuck they experience is because they live under that kind of leadership, rulership. God, that kind of God. There's two gods always vying for you and me. It's either the God of this world or the God of the glory. God of glory, the God of heaven. There's only two gods. And they're looking, and both of them want you and me. And the devil will take us back. Oh, believe me, he would take me back. He'd take me back in a heartbeat. Now, I have a free will. I have a free will to who I choose to serve. I can choose to serve that old serpent, the devil, or I can choose the God of glory. I can choose to serve the Lord of heaven and earth. I can choose to enjoy the power and the strength of my God through his Christ. He said, now is come. And it's time for us to lay hold on what has come. It's time for us to lay hold on the power. Time to lay hold upon the strength of his Christ. To lay hold upon what he has provided. It's just time to do it and do it now. Don't wait next week. Don't wait next month. But enjoy the power now of God in your life. Because it's just time to get a hold of what God has said he's done. He has given us authority over the enemy. And this is how he's done it. To what we say. What we say, the devil's after your mouth, he's after your tongue, and he's after your thought life. Because you will say what you think every time. It's just time to understand that you are in control more than you know of what happens to you. Look at verse 11. We're the they. We're the they. They overcome. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. See, the blood of the Lamb is what purchased me. I was redeemed, not with corruptible things, but the blood of precious blood of Christ redeemed me. I've been born again. I've been made a new creature in Christ. I am a new creature. That's the blood's, that's the power in the blood. To take a sinner, somebody so laden with wickedness and sadness and depression and all the yuck stuff of life and that antichrist spirit, all the bad things in our lives, and he can come in a second. And not even a second. I don't know how fast it happens. But I know that when you accept Jesus as your Savior, he literally takes every sin you ever committed and it's annihilated. It's like it never happened. It's like it was just totally, just poof, it's gone. Never to be remembered again. How does he do that? That's the power in the blood. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. He literally, it just literally takes it, like anything I ever did, it completely is gone. It's gone. Have you ever done something on a piece of paper and you decided, well, that was wrong, and you have something called an eraser, don't you? And what do you do with that eraser? You erase it. That's what the blood Jesus did for me. It erased every bad thing I ever thought, every bad thing I ever did. It erased it. It's like it's not there. You can't see it. You can't even look at it anymore because it's gone. It's erased. It's gone. It never happened. In the mind of God, it never happened. That's the power of his Christ. That's the power of the blood. And then he makes you a new creature
He literally takes out that stony hearts and gives you a heart of flesh that you can now commune with him on a higher level and a higher way of living than you've ever could imagine. He's given you the capacity to engulf and embrace heaven. He's given you the capacity to know God on a personal level. Think of that. Here's Almighty, our Creator who created the sun. Now we can know him personally. You couldn't do that in your fallen state. In the old sinful nature. Sin can't even approach God. But now a new creature, being that we are in Christ, we can now walk and talk with God himself and receive things out of heaven personally. It's a wonderful thing to know that your God is your heavenly Father. See, that's family. He literally became my Father. I have access to the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus. The spirit of adoption made me one with him. I'm now in the family of God. And I've got brothers and sisters. I've got many I've never even met. You've never met. We're going to get to know a lot of people that have accepted Christ and through the blood. And now we've been made to sit in heavenly places with him. When? Now. Now. Now, I'm not 2,000 years old. All of this was set up and established 2,000 years ago. Everything you're ever going to need from God has already been given to you. You just need to come along and find out about what's provided. You've got to just grow up in the things of God and find out you have access to anything and everything you could ever need that God could provide, because God is good. And everything God gives us is good. And he said he's made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ. You lack anything? Shouldn't. You shouldn't lack a single thing. You ought to be able to go to God, and you can go to God and ask him anything. That's why Jesus said, you can ask anything, and my Father will give it you. You lack anything? Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you can receive, that your joy might be full. There's too many scriptures that promise us, the believer, not the sinner. Believers have access to the throne of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and help in the time of need. That's a pretty big invitation. That's a big invitation. Receiving God, receiving from God is a powerful thing. So now's come. And then he says, let me finish reading verse 11. They overcame by the blood, but they also overcome by the word of their testimony. A lot of people are born again. A lot of people born again, accepted Jesus, have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, have been redeemed out from under the curse and been translated in the kingdom of light. A lot of people have been redeemed, but they've never been transformed by the renewing of their mind and what they say. They've never, ever walked in proving the will of God through their mouth. You prove the will of God through your mouth. Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can prove. How do you prove what's the good and acceptable will of God? How do you prove it? How can I prove that? How can I overcome by the word of my testimony? What have I got to do with this plan of salvation? I thought Jesus is the one who went to the cross. I thought Jesus is the one that God raised from the dead. What am I involved here? What is this about me having something to say? How do I overcome? Who is this talking about? It's talking about the accuser. I believe that if there was never a fall, if there had never been a devil who took Adam's place, if the devil hadn't legally been allowed to be here, if Adam had not turned over his authority on this earth to a renegade evil spirit, Jesus would not have had to come and die the way he did. But because the devil was here and he had a legal right to be here, he had to save the human race. Every single human being would have went to hell with the devil. That's sad. What a fallen state we were all in. But because of the love God had, he made a covenant with Abraham and he created a Jewish state, a nation that could be his people, a covenant people, to whom he could get the word of God into the earth through. In the form of a person. And that person had to go and take our place on that cross and satisfy the justice that was demanded of sin. Whew. And he did it. Now we can say, now has come the power of our God. Now we can say, now has come the strength of our God and the power of his grace. Now has come. The devil's cast down. He's cast down. How come he's running rampant in so many people's lives? Why is he tormenting us so much? Why is it we can't seem to get victory over the devil? What is it about him that's so powerful if he's already been cast down? Your mouth gives him access to your life. It literally gives him legal freeway into your life, is your testimony. Your testimony is your story. It defines you. Let me tell you all about me. I can tell you all about me. And you've got an imagination that will picture you just exactly the way you see yourself. Everybody's got a testimony. Everybody's got a picture and an image of their self. Everybody does. And the enemy will help you out with that. Well, here's me. Here's my portrait. Here's my testimony. Here's all about me. I can write a story about me. I can write a book about me. Here's all about me. Very important that we have the right testimony about ourselves. Because it's our testimony that gives us the victory. It's what we say about and how we see ourselves in relationship to the kingdom. Y'all getting what I'm saying?
Amen.
We overcome. I think that the most important thing that I have ever recognized in my life is that I'm an overcomer because the word says I'm overcomer. Then how come I'm not overcoming? How come I'm depressed? How come I'm defeated? How come I'm broke? How come I'm sick? How come all these things seem to be more powerful than God in my life? And then I began to examine the Word, began to examine me. And I had to say, you know what? It ain't God's fault. It ain't none of this is God's fault. I have to look in the mirror and I have to say, it's my fault. It's my fault if I'm broke. It's my fault if I'm down and out and depressed. It isn't even the devil's fault. He's just doing what he always has always done. But now has come. Now has come power. Now has come victory. 2,000 years ago. Now it's time for us to wake up as a church and speak. Write your own testimony. Get out of that victim mentality. The enemy wants to keep us in a victim mentality all our lives. I've never had nothing. I'll never have nothing. I never did have nothing. My mama didn't have nothing. My daddy didn't have nothing. We come from poor folk, you know. We're never going to be anybody. We're never going to have anything. I'll never do anything special. We've got this image of who we've been and not what the God of our Creator says we are. This is a truth. And it's time to rewrite our image. And change the way we think about ourselves and start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Seated in heavenly places and start speaking forth the words of life over our own lives. Anytime you want to decree something over your life, you better make sure it lines up with the word. Stop decreeing death. Stop decreeing poor. Stop decreeing never lack and unbelief and all that mess. Because that's not of your Father. That's not of the kingdom that he's translated us into. Because I know that's why we don't overcome sometimes. That's why I've not overcome the way I should have overcome in a situation. That's why that thing overcame me. Let me tell you, something's always going to overcome you. Either you're going to be the overcomer or something's going to overcome you. I've learned to speak to my problems. Speak to your mountains. Speak to your situation. Speak to your headache. Some folks can't even speak to a headache. Can't speak to nothing because they don't know the power of their Creator. That's through his blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. So verse 11 says, and they overcame by the blood came him, the accuser. Let me tell you what the accuser does. The accuser, he says, let me just give you an example. Here's the accuser. He accuses you because he knows the truth. He knows the truth about everything. He knows truth. He knows that Bible. But the accuser will come and say, you know, you really are never going to get healed. And he'll talk to you about every area of your life. He'll talk to you about finances. He'll talk to you about health. He'll talk to you about relationships. He'll talk to you about everything, and it'll always be negative. It'll always be a downer. It'll always be, no, you're never going to be over the top. You're always going to be under the barrel. Nobody really ever liked you. Your mother didn't like you. Your father didn't like you. No one really likes you. Look what this one has done. Look what that one's done. Do you notice there's a pattern in your life? Do you think there might be something wrong with you? Do you not know that you're a failure? Do you not know? I mean, this is the accuser now. And we listen. We listen to these lies. We listen to him. He's a real being. And he has a right to be here. He has a legal right to be here because Adam gave it to him to be here. But now it's just time that we turn him off. Cast him down. That's what Jesus did. He's been cast down. Now it's time for us to cast him down. It's time for us to recognize that this devil is real and he's assigned to you and he's out to destroy you. He doesn't. You just start making a little headway in Jesus and you see how hard he comes after you to steal your testimony. He's after your testimony. If you've got a testimony, he'll be after it, believe me. You start talking about Jesus and what Jesus has done for you. Oh, he will come to take that away. Because he don't want you bragging on Jesus. Because the more you talk your salvation, whether it be healing, finances, joy, comfort, victory over oppression, victory over depression, victory over drugs, victory over alcohol, victory over whatever, he wants to shut that down. Because he knows that it'll make you stronger and stronger and stronger. The more you say it, the more you hear yourself talk. The victory, the more it makes reality and a picture in your mind of who you really are in Christ. He doesn't want you forming the right image of yourself in Christ. He doesn't want you to see yourself victorious in Christ. He wants to muddle that. He wants to mar that. He wants to distort your true image of who you are in God. Oh, no, let's not think about yourself like that. You know you'll never be that good. You know that God didn't call you to do that. You know God doesn't plan that for you. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never do anything. You'll never have anything. You're just going to be a workhorse your whole life. But whatever he says to us, because he wants to distort what God has said in his word about God's children. But we have to overcome. This is where we have to overcome. We have to overcome because we've already overcome through Christ. But we now have to take the reins of the horse, so to speak. We have to take the bridle of our mouth. And we have to start creating the right image of who we are and start talking the right things. Because that's how we overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You get a pain? You get a thought? Well, you must be ready to die. And you see the picture of dying. Or you see the picture or an image of it. And then you start talking that image. You start seeing it and believing it. Instead of going to the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to create the right image of what God says about you. See, I'm creating an image when I share this verse right here. This is creating a picture in your mind right now today. I'm creating a picture. Here's a voice in heaven. Can you see? We can't see a voice, but we can imagine. Here's a voice declaring this. Now is come. Now is come. Salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God. I can picture the kingdom of God. I don't know if anybody else's eyes of understanding are enlightened to this degree, but I can see the kingdom of God. And if you'll just spend some time reading the Bible, you'll start seeing the kingdom of God too. It'll start seeing like a real place. Start thinking about the kingdom of God. It's a real place. Real. It's more real than this world. It's a real place. There's no lack there. They got so much gold in heaven that they paved the streets with it. You might own a little piece of gold here, but I'll tell you what, in heaven there's lots of gold everywhere. I believe they build houses with it. Pure gold. No impurities. Heaven is a real, real place. Heaven's going to be my future home, by the way. I'm going to heaven. And that's a definite testimony. I know I'm going to heaven. Because Jesus has made a way. But the living for God here is the challenge. How do you live for God here has to do with me. Christendom has been so dumbed down. We've been dumbed down into believing that we are defeated, that we have not received the kingdom of God yet. We have not been given victory yet. It's something that we are looking for way off in the future. But this says we overcome now. Did it not say now? And we overcome now. Let me give you some more things to help us. I'm just making this real clear that we have been given a now a kingdom. And we've been given the power of our Christ. I would suggest meditating on this verse every day. I would suggest thinking about what is the power of our Christ? What is the power of God? Well, think about it. Jesus was literally pulverized, beat, mutilated, ripped apart, crucified, put in a grave, went to hell, that God totally raised him up from the dead and made him and exalted him higher than any other name. The Bible said that he's up higher than any other place and position. And you know, the devil hates the fact that I'm sharing this today. Hates it. It's like, say anything you want to say, but don't talk about what power of God is available to the believer through their testimony. Yes, Jesus cast him down. Yes, the Bible says that he was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, he did destroy the works of the devil. He did it. He's not going to do it. He already did it. But why are we still dealing with the devil? Well, you're going to always deal with the devil because he's here and he has a legal right to be here. But we overcome him every day. I overcome the devil every day. And you know how I overcome him every day? With my mouth. With my right image. See, I got tired of being a victim. And he uses that victim mentality to keep us right where he wants us. Because of past experiences, we have created images of ourselves because of the past. The way people have treated us in our past, we compare ourselves to others. We compare ourselves and we have this image of, well, this happened, bad happened to me. And we can't seem to get past that bad thing that happened. It's just time to get past the bad and get into the victory. Anybody got a bad past? I've got a bad past. I got some bad things that I can remember, but I don't remember them. I've learned how to cast that down, right thoughts in my mind. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. I want to just say this the way that the Lord brought this to me, probably 20 years ago. I was sitting reading my Bible about 20 years ago. I heard the Lord say, I was reading Jonah. And I was just reading along the book of Jonah, and I got down to this verse right here, and the Holy Spirit stopped me. And he said, I want you to read that again. Read that verse again. It's Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. And I think, well, what does that mean? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Holy Spirit said, you do that all the time. I don't do that. Yes, you do. You do this all the time, Teresa. No. Me. I do this all the time. You observe lying vanities all the time. Your thought life is how you observe things. You don't actually have to go back and relive anything physically. You just think about it again. Think about that bad, sad experience. Think about it. You've observed it, haven't you? You've seen it again, right? You're looking at it, aren't you? You're observing that lying vanity. Yeah, that was bad. Yes, that was not good. But God says, you observe it all the time. You're observing it and you're making it bigger than the thing you should be observing. You're forsaking the mercy I have placed in your life, the mercy through my blood, the mercy of my word in your life, over counteracting that image of the bad. I've given you the right image of me in my word, and I want you to observe that. That's what you observe. And if you continue and you continue to observe a lying vanity, you forsake your own mercy that's available to you and the victory that I've provided. We do it. And they that observe lying vanities, you're shooting your own foot. You might as well just, you're being destructive to your own life by doing that. Stop observing lying vanity. Okay. I said, okay, God, how do I do that? How do I do that? You do it just like you do everything, by faith. Everything I've ever done, everything God's ever asked me to do, I couldn't do it in my own strength, but there was something I had called faith that he gave me when I got born again. So I did it by faith. Okay. Just know for sure you can do anything God tells you to do. Anything. But you're going to have to do it by faith. Ever been on a road where there's ruts in the road? And you've been driving down that same road for years and those ruts seem to get deeper and deeper? That's the way memories are. That's the way lying vanities are. It's hard to get out of that rut. It's hard to pull that car out of that rut and start a new road. But you have to do this if you're going to know how to cast down with the word of your testimony the devil that's got you in that rut. Because that rut is not a good thing. It will take you down the wrong road, and you'll never, ever, you'll just never enjoy the blessing that God has provided in His Christ. You won't enjoy the power, you won't enjoy the strength, and you won't know the power of His Christ. You just won't know how to overcome the devil. You'll never overcome him until you get a hold of your mouth and the way you think about yourself. Did I just say something? That's powerful. You can't cast the devil down as long as you're enjoying being in a pity party and enjoying the past hurts and pains and reliving it. You're forsaking what God has already, well, he wants you to move into some glory. He wants you to move into some power and some victory and move forward. And don't let history repeat itself over and over, because you set yourself to repeat history if you don't stop observing lying vanities. If you keep reliving and talking the same way you've always talked, you're going to repeat exactly, maybe a different bunch of people, different situation, different group of settings, but it'll be repeated, because that victim mentality has to be cast down and the right image has to be replacing it. Has to be, because you'll repeat bad. Bad will be repeated. Does anybody get what I'm saying? It's our testimony. The devil is the accuser, but he keeps your past in your face as hard and as fervently as he can. And he wants you to continue to look at it, listen to it, think about it, and feel it. You'll get to where you're feeling it. The emotions will still be there 20 years from now. Thank God I don't have any of that anymore in my life. The memory of the just is blessed. I started putting word on my memory. I started putting word by faith on every single bad thought I had about me. Every negative image, I replaced it with God's image. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm the apple of his eye. That's a powerful thought now. I'm the apple of God's eye. Yeah, apple's pretty special to God. It's apple. The Lord thinketh upon me. I might be despised, but he's thinking about me. There's some image changing going on in my life, and has been for a while, until I started thinking like Jesus thinks about me. I don't let the thoughts of others dominate me anymore. You could walk up to me, people could walk up to me and say the most hateful, mean, hateful things ever was. You know what it does? Passes right on by, honey, because I got some established thoughts in my life. I will not agree with that, because it doesn't agree with the word. You can't tell me I'm bad, because God says I'm good. You can't tell me what a failure I am, because God says I'm a success. You can't tell me I'm never going to amount to anything, because God says he's made me more than a conqueror. Praise be unto God who always causeth me to triumph. See, I have a triumphant image. I have a conquering image, because it's not me, but it's my champion who's already conquered everything. living in me. See, the light of the gospel shined in my heart and in my mind. But I put my mouth to it. I pray it. I pray the word. I talk the word. I share the word. And you don't hear me talk defeat hardly ever. If I ever do, just smack me upside the head, please. Because that's the beginning of your downfall. And I can recognize it in other people pretty quick. I hear people talking sad, bad me. And I'll never amount to nothing me. Your image is not right. And you're not going to overcome the devil, who's the accuser, who's accusing you. You'll never put him on the run. You'll never put him in his place as long as you're agreeing with him. Can't. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own available mercy. Their own victories, Ben. They're not recognizing what's been made available through Christ. Healing belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. Healing belongs to you too. But I can't get you to believe that until you decide to believe that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It can belong to you just as much as it belongs to me, but until you believe it belongs to you already, that it's already yours, and you lay hold on it, and you start talking it, and you start talking to your organs, you start talking to whatever is causing you problems, and you command that thing to line up with the Word of God, and you tell the devil to get his accusations out of your mind, you're not going to see yourself sick anymore. You're going to see yourself well. You have a well image now. You see yourself totally, completely healed. I walk around seeing myself healed. Totally healed. I see healed. When I think of Teresa, Teresa healed. I see a healed Teresa. I don't see a sick Teresa. That's my inner image of my inner being inside me. The real me sees me healed. The real me, my real spirit man with my spirit eyes, see me whole 100%. I see me wealthy 100%. I see me the way God says I am to be seeing me. Anything else than that is giving the enemy access to my mind. I'm agreeing with the wrong spirit. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I love not my life unto the death. I pretty much have surrendered my life over to God. I don't like being sad and upset and angry and mad and all that. That ain't God. He didn't give me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's what I see. I've got power. I've got love and a sound mind. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:7. You got to talk to these things. You got to talk to your mind. You got to tell your mind how to think. You got to tell your mind how to talk. The real you is the real you. Don't be observing lying vanities. You anything that's exalting itself against the truth is a lie. God's word is the truth. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. You need to put this in your face. It's life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. See, the Word of God responds. Your flesh will respond to the Word of God. Your thinking will respond to the Word of God. If you'll start thinking right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Let's just stop right there. Fear is a real tangible thing. You can't tell me it isn't. You can't tell me it isn't. It's real. Fear is real. Some things make people more afraid than other things. Like, I'm not afraid of a snake, for example. If a snake slithered up here in my foot, I just go grab me a shoe or something, knock it in the head. Some people freak because they'd have something called fear grab them. But you put a big old black spider on that chair, I'm going to freak out. Everybody has a different fear of things. So fear is a very real, natural part of our being. And it's a good thing to have fear. I don't like heights. I mean, just fear. Fear is a natural part of our preservation. It's a part of who we are. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And that's a spiritual aspect of it. In the spirit realm, the devil operates his entire kingdom based on fear. Everything the devil ever get over to you is he's got to get you to fear it before it'll have power over you. Fear gives him power in your life. So he's got to get you afraid. He's got to get you afraid of dying. He's got to get you afraid of being sick. He's got to get you afraid of not having any money. He's got to get you afraid of whatever it is. Something you ain't got no control over, you know, you're afraid. So, you know, you ain't got no control over how much money you'll ever have. You ain't got no control over you ever being well. You ain't got no control, so you need to be afraid. That's going to come upon you. Job said, the thing that I feared, the greatly feared, is the thing that come upon me. So the greater your fear, the greater the opportunity of the devil to get into your life. And he will come. I'm giving you spiritual laws. This is a spiritual law. This is just like electricity. There's laws that govern electricity. There's laws that govern fear. And the devil operates with those laws of fear. He's all about fear and death. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now there's that word now again. And it says there's now no. There's now no condemnation. To who? Well, the them is anybody who's accepting this. Whoever is them is the they in Revelation. They overcome. Who's they? My son used to say, who's they? They say, well, who's they? Well, I'm telling you, who's they is whoever says what they're supposed to say. The them is whoever is doing what they're supposed to be doing in the kingdom. There's no condemnation to them. And it's the them that do the say who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus because of what he's done. Who walk not after their flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's powerful. That says there's two laws in operation in the universe. There's two laws. There's the law of life, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and there's the law of sin and death. Or you could say there's a law of satanic domination through fear. Jesus' kingdom and laws of the kingdom operate through faith. The satanic realm of the law of sin and death operate by laws. Think of electricity. There's laws that govern things. The law of sin and death is a real law. And it operates through the avenue of fear. You could literally speak death on yourself and your family if you're not careful. You'll destroy your own life with your mouth if you're not careful. There's a law of sin and death. And God is saying, don't be concerned. You're free from all that. You're free from that if you're walking after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Your spirit, who's connected with the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from it. You've got to first understand child of God. I'm a child of God. I had to first understand that I'm free from the law of sin and death. Totally free from it. But that doesn't mean that I can't go over here and grab a live wire and get electrocuted, does it? I can still open up fear in my life and let the devil in by the wrong thoughts and wrong words I speak. You know, you're not a puppet on a string. You're a free will agent. I can choose to think fear. I can choose to speak death. I can choose to be angry. I can choose to be hateful. I can choose to walk in the death, the spirit, the law of the spirit of death and destruction. I can choose all that. But the good news is that I've been made free from all that. Sinners ain't been made free from that, but I have. Children of God are free from the law of sin and death. We're free. That's some good news, and I don't think it's being preached enough. I don't think people understand that there's freedom in Jesus. You can now have all the love you want to have. You can have all the joy you want to have. You can have all the peace you want to have. You can have all the money you want to have. You can now have all the health you want to have. Whatever the kingdom has provided, it's available. Because there's a law that you have to learn to operate, and it's called law of faith that works by love. Faith worketh by love. And the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's available. We just got to learn how to turn the switch of faith on in the right things. Stop observing lying vanity. Stop speaking death. Stop thinking death. Thinking fear. Letting fear dominate. Faith is supposed to dominate the child of God. And anytime it comes at me, I need to wear, you know where it needs to go? Under my feet. Under my feet. Just put it under your foot. Cast it down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And bring every thought into captivity. And I'm going to say one more thing and I'm going to close. The devil does not have any authority or power over you. That's why he has to steal your authority and your power through your word. Cast down. Are we all healed?
Amen.
We're all delivered?
Amen.
We're made to sit in heavenly places?
Amen.
We overcome?
Yes.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto the death. We're going to heaven, not going to hell. Fear's not going to dominate us. Faith is dominating us. We walk by faith and not by sight. Everything you access the kingdom is by faith. You think you're going to get it any other way, you can forget it. It comes by faith. By grace, through faith, are you saved not of yourself? It is a gift of God. Father, I seal this word today and I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name.